Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Lopez now by himself. He'll fire up the three, and he drains it. The Bucks have climbed back to tie this game at 60 points apiece.
Bucks talk starts now.
Valiant effort from Milwaukee tonight, but not enough in the end as the Denver Nuggets will take this one by a final score of 127 to 117.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, a valiant effort tonight for the Bucks comes up short in Denver against the Nuggets. We had said from the start of this trip, 3-2 was the expectation. Obviously, plans change when you lose Damian Lillard indefinitely. And you know, we talked about this before too. You wondered, okay, where are the Bucks going to say, let's find a spot on the schedule and give Giannis some rest. At this point, with 10 games remaining, he's in no real danger, knock on wood, of being ineligible for any postseason awards. I believe he's got 5 games to work with that he could still miss here, and the Bucks have 10 games remaining. But Giannis out tonight, Dame out, Bobby Portis still serving that suspension, though we're getting closer. For BP, he's got 19 games in now, just 6 left on the suspension. And Jericho Sims there. So you knew, hey, this is going to have to be a big 3-point game. And the Bucks matched the Nuggets, which in itself, I think, says something. The way Denver started this game, they were 5 of 5 right out of the gates and hit 6 of their first 7 threes. You withstood everything Denver threw at you. There were some questionable calls. The big sequence there was the foul that wasn't on A.J. Green, and we heard Doc's thoughts on that after the game as well. But I think you really like the fight that you saw from this group tonight, and in many ways, unfortunately, it reminded you of that series against the Indiana Pacers last spring, where you didn't have Giannis, you didn't have Dame for 2 of those 6 games, and the Bucks were in it and fought all the way until the end. You know, before the game, Doc was asked about this, and there were other quotes of, hey, we're going to have to jung things up, and we think we got the roster to do that. I think you certainly do defensively. And this isn't the moral victory type of stance, or let's look for the positives in this. You would obviously love to still have Damian Lillard, but if there is one thing you can learn from this, it's the role of Ryan Rollins, right? That he got back into the rotation on this road trip. And shortly before, you started to see his usage go up a little bit more. But you've really had to lean on him now. And Ryan Rollins has been one of the most consistent and steady guys here for the past 5 or so games for the Bucks. As I mentioned, you already felt very good about your defense, but you can argue we feel even better. Now, defense has not been the problem. As we've well documented, it's the fourth quarter offense. It's the clutch offense. It's the offense in general. But putting Ryan Rollins out there, putting Kevin Porter Jr. out there for extended minutes defensively at the point guard position versus Damian Lillard and the size that Dame's going to be working up against, you feel like a strength maybe got even better for the Bucks. The challenge is going to be, where is the offense going to come from? 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. That's the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and text line to share your thoughts on this one. You know, one of those games that I'm sure a lot of Bucks fans, when you saw the injury reports, probably gave up on and said, okay, I guess we're looking at a 2-3 road trip here. But I think you needed to see this type of fight from this group tonight. And that's what you saw. Oh, by the way, the number one fan favorite, certainly for this show, had a pretty big game tonight. Brooke Lopez with his 3rd straight 20-point game and 26 points. He had 20 points at halftime. It just continues to be, and that's another knock on wood, but it continues to be a marvel that Brooke Lopez, at this age, continues to give you the consistency that he does. What, 38 minutes tonight, I think it was? Played 41 minutes against the Suns. Those minutes are picking up. That's obviously something you'd love to get a better handle on. You just don't have any other options right now. But let's also not forget, what, 3 years removed from back surgery, and this is what Brook Lopez is giving you. So the season is not lost. And I do want to get into the Damian Lillard discussion and where this leaves the Bucks in the aftermath here. But look, you still have Giannis. And what's going to be imperative for this group is their role players. Have nights like they did tonight. You had 7 double-digit scores. You're obviously not expecting that every single game. But we already saw one comment popping up here about A.J. Green. We have certainly pored over A.J.'s slump that he's been in for the last, 10-plus games. Really, save for one game against the Dallas Mavericks coming out of the All-Star break. The shooting numbers have not been what we've seen consistently from A.J. Green. That, hopefully, was a sign of a change tonight with the performance that A.J. gave you shooting the basketball here, because he's going to be huge for you. In any game you're playing without Damian Lillard, you're going to have to hit threes. So it's guys like A.J. Green, Torian Prince, all the other names we mentioned, Ryan Rollins and what he did, Gary Trent Jr., those guys does not have to be every single game, but you need two of those guys to give you that type of performance. They can share, they can split whose night it is, but you need two of your role players to have productive nights go forward here. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We haven't really given an outlet here with the news coming yesterday on Damian Lillard about your thoughts, what this means for the Bucks, what this means for Damian Lillard, where your thoughts are currently at. With the news that Dame is battling through deep vein thrombosis and is out indefinitely. So we'll open up the lines for a chance to you to weigh in and take a look at how the Bucks navigate these next 10 games and then the postseason, if in fact there is no Damian Lillard in the mix there. We'll get into that discussion coming up next on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Lopez with a rebound, lays it in on the reverse side of the rim against Jokic. Brook Lopez, don't tell him his team doesn't have a shot tonight. He's coming out there, and he is giving him a shot with 15 points now on 7 of 8 shooting. The Bucks are now on an 11-3 scoring run as we sit 448 to play in the second quarter.
Yeah, 26 tonight from Brook Lopez. He had 20 at halftime. I think I may tomorrow dig into this, but I would love to know these games where you have not just a star per se, but when you're down multiple guys. I mean, maybe it just seems this way because we've seen the Bucks victimized by this a couple of times. I think the one that stands out the most is the loss to the Memphis Grizzlies last year when you had the G.G. Jackson coming out game. Vince Williams had a big game in that one too. We've heard Doc Rivers talk about it quite a bit, but it does seem like we're seeing it league-wide, where it's tough to get up for these games when you look across and you see, well, this guy's out, this guy's out, this guy's out. All right, we'll see how much we can beat these guys by. We can work our way into this one. That wasn't the case with Denver tonight, the start that they got off to. They led by as many as 15. It's double digits early. They hit their first 5 threes. They were 6 of 7 on 3 to start the game. And the hope was, man, can the Bucks just stay in this? Don't let this get ugly. But you saw more than that throughout the course of the game. And, the big hope coming out of this is that this is a springboard for guys like A.J. Green to start to put some of those shooting woes behind you. Because of the importance that exists now because of the news we were dealt yesterday. We talked about this, I think, after the Suns game a couple of times on this road trip, where you just kind of read between the lines what was being said about Damian Lillard. And it was the Suns game where Doc was asked about the process of the injury report in usually when a guy's day-to-day, you usually start out as questionable, or maybe you're doubtful on the injury report. But Dame has been ruled out immediately, day of the game. So, I don't want to call you a liar here, but if you're saying he's day-to-day, but we already know he's out, isn't there more to it? And is he progressing enough? And Doc told us before the Suns game, no, he's not. And he's going to have some further testing done. You got the sense there was something else that was there. And we found out that was, in fact, the case yesterday. Deep vein thrombosis. Look, last year I remember having a very similar conversation, eerily enough, right around the same time. I think it was the final four games where Giannis went out in the regular season. Now you got 10 games left. A calf-related issue in both of these. But some of the wording that you you heard from Doc, and we continued, not just Doc, the entire staff and players, were hopeful that Giannis is going to be able to return. The fact that, you know, everybody, when that injury occurred, I don't think anybody knew what a soleus was. If you did, it was just, I feel like I remember that being mentioned with Kevin Durant once before. But everybody ran and searched soleus and what can this cause? And having a conversation on this show with a few people that called in and said, you know, I think this leads to this and this and this. So that's the danger and that's the concern there with Giannis. And as we saw, he did not come back. And he basically told us in the offseason he wasn't close to coming back. From the moment he went down, I remember trying to get it across of, look, you have to assume Giannis is not going to play in this series against the Pacers. Can't just be waiting on Superman. How do we beat the Indiana Pacers with Damian Lillard, the rest of this group? Giannis can't be in the mix. If he does come back, great. We weren't planning on it, but that should be the assumption. Obviously, the coaching staff and the players, medical staff, they have more information. They know more than we do. But as a fan, that should be your outlook. Giannis isn't playing in the series, so let's see what these guys can do. And can you buy some time to get Giannis on the floor in round two or further? That is the same approach you have to have here. And, you know, the difference is last year we were talking about a calf issue for Giannis that could mean, man, he could do some additional damage here. If you try to rush him through it and plan it, he might miss the start of next season and aggravate something even more. Deep vein thrombosis, blood clots. It's a different neighborhood. And look, I don't want to compare Damian Lillard's to other players that have dealt with this because everyone is different. And, you know, we can all go through, well, I know a guy that did this, or I know a guy that had this, or I had this once before. We have a producer on staff who dealt with this and said it took him 3 to 4 months that he was on blood thinners and obviously not able to do anything in terms of your traditional physical activity during that period. And look, I'm not going to compare us average Joes to some of the premier athletes in the world, but I know there's been this message put out there. We are optimistic. We are hopeful that he is going to be able to return yet this season. Even more so than last year, I just think you cannot assume that is going to be the case. Like, this is far more severe and significant than a soleus strain or a traditional calf strain. Like, I'm sure we all looked into it and read up as much as we could on blood clots and what does this mean and the severity of it. And we all came across the same articles of, well, actually, if it occurs in the lower portion of the body or lower portion of your foot, it's much better off. But there's always that but there. It's unfortunate if this is, in fact, a season-ending ailment for Damian Lillard. And again, that's the mindset I think we all have to take. Not just for, hey, let's not pin all of our hopes on Dame coming back from this, but the severity of what this is. Like, there are more important things than Damian Lillard returning to the floor for the Bucks in the season, as much as we may think otherwise. His future, his health, that's what's at stake here. So it is unfortunate, and it is very hard to feel anything but cursed when you see these types of things and think, man, you had Chris Middleton slipping on a wet spot, didn't have him in the series against the Boston Celtics, and here's what that did. Giannis goes down against the Miami Heat, and clearly wasn't the same guy. I still don't know that wasn't as clear as you didn't have Middleton against the Celtics. You didn't have Giannis against the Pacers. You didn't have Dame for part of that series. You didn't have Giannis for, what, a game and a half against the Miami Heat? He was clearly not the same guy, but there have been injuries year after year after year, even before the Bucks won the title. Giannis gets hurt in the bubble, too, with that ankle issue. Missed, what, I think two games in that series against the Miami Heat that you lose in five. Even the year the Bucks won the title, obviously we all point to, well, Giannis goes down in the Eastern Conference Final against the Atlanta Hawks. Dante DiVincenzo went out in, what, game three of that first-round series against the Miami Heat. So it's always been an issue here. Health. Not just for the Bucks, for several teams. But, you know, we can do the, man, this Bucks team just can't catch a break, and they get all the bad luck and injuries and cursed and all that type of talk. You know, I would have to look into it more to see. We obviously have this top of mind and are very familiar with all the guys that the Bucks have had impacted with injuries, dealing with injuries during their playoffs. It does seem like it's more than other teams, but we've seen more and more of it across the league. But if anything, and this is by no means a concession speech and saying, hey, the season's over, because look, the Bucks can still win. You still have Giannis, right? You're still going to have the best player on the floor. As we said at the top of the show, the big thing is the role players. That's what's going to free things up for Giannis even more. Your role players have to have good games. You need to find consistently, now we said for the longest time, you got to have a guy who's consistently your third scorer. It does not have to be the same player every single game, but you got to have one guy that does it consistently, night in, night out. Maybe tonight it's Ryan Rollins, and tomorrow it's A.J. Green, and then it's Gary Trent Jr., but you have to have that third guy consistently. Well, unfortunately now, it's the second and third guy that you have to have consistently, and you're going to have to lean on your role players. But the big message in all this, you still have the best player in your conference and arguably the best player in the league that's going to be on the floor. You're going to have the best player on the floor in every series you're in the Eastern Conference. So it comes down to, what do guys like Brook Lopez do? What do guys like Ryan Rollins give you defensively? And can you lean into that defense and junking up the game, as Doc and a few other coaches talked about before the game, with Giannis, how much that impacts your defense to have he and Brook Lopez on the floor together? You feel like you're going to get Jericho Sims back and give you some more size there and more defensive versatility. And I think now a guy like Jericho Sims is more important than ever before to get him back on the floor because of the fact that you are going to have to lean into defense. You get Bobby Portis back for that game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. You got six more games you're going to play without BP. But then you get him back and what he's going to do in terms of talking about finding that consistent secondary and tertiary scorer. Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez are guys that can fill that role. So all hope is not lost here. Is it going to be an incredible challenge if you can win in the first round to get through whoever your second-round opponent is, be it the Celtics or the Cavaliers, if you don't have Damian Lillard? Yes, it gets even more challenging. But I think the feeling should be much greater this year than it was a year ago, where, again, there is that cloud of uncertainty hanging over you with Giannis. We don't know if he's going to play. We keep hearing the Bucks say they're optimistic. I don't know. Solius seems pretty significant. Kind of inclined to believe he's at least going to miss a big chunk of this series. And let's be honest, just the overall vibes around that team, where you started 30-13, you made a coaching change, you get injuries that are piling up. Chris Middleton steps on Kevin Durant's foot, the irony in that, and misses a large chunk of the second half of the season. It just felt like once it looked like you were starting to turn the corner, something else happened. That towards the end of last season, I think in many ways, a lot of Bucks fans were just kind of ready and said, this season wasn't what I expected. I don't have very high expectations for the playoffs. I'm ready for a 10. Just don't be an embarrassment. I don't think that's the feeling this year. And if you get the Pacers in the first round, you went 3-1 against Indiana this season. And that one loss is one that felt like you really should have won that. So you're potentially looking at a clean sweep against Indiana. The Knicks, you might drop down to six, and we'll get into that conversation because of tonight's results and everything we've seen in the last couple of days. And look, it's easy to look at those first two games and say, well, the Bucks absolutely cannot match up with the Knicks. I get that it's going to be hard to overcome the optics of those two games. And look, maybe you see the same Friday, and then it really starts to creep in with the doubt. But I don't think the Knicks are going to have Jalen Brunson in that game on Friday. I do expect the Knicks to have Jalen Brunson back for the playoffs. But the big thing with the Knicks is how do you match up defensively? And it just goes back to what we said before of, look, with no Dame, you just have to lean into your defense and hope that you got the shooting that goes through here. Guys start hitting shots. Ryan Rollins or Kevin Porter Jr., that's who you're throwing out there on the perimeter against a guy like Jalen Brunson. You know, not Damian Lillard. And it's not to diminish Dame's defense. I think it's been much better this season. He's been very active in passing lanes. He's created loose balls and steals opportunities. He's been very engaged as a defender this season. But you can't do anything to coach the height. And that's the big thing, is that's why teams will try to get him in an action and target him. Can't do it quite as much with Ryan Rollins. As young as he is and as unproven as he is, got a near 7-foot wingspan. Doc spoke very, very highly of Ryan Rollins before the game tonight as well, saying, look, he's an NBA defender. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. His defense translates to this league, and we've really loved the progress we've seen from him. Again, you don't want it to have to come at the expense of Damian Lillard has a serious ailment, and we don't know when he's going to return. But the fact that the door is once again open for Ryan Rollins could prove to be a very, very big thing for this Bucks team. The overall point of all of this, actually, we'll save this for the next segment, but there is an overall point of, look, it's been a bummer. I get that. There's been some disappointments. There's been injuries. But it should make you view 2021 in a very specific way because of all of that. So we'll get into that. And still a chance to hear from you as well on this injury, on this ailment for Damian Lillard. And the final 10 games of the season for the Milwaukee Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. We'll get to more of that after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks come up short in Denver against the Nuggets tonight, 127-117. Spirited effort. You were in it all the way until the end. There was the no call that Doc Rivers had a lot of thoughts on. Look, I don't know that if that is called a foul for, who was it? Was it Peyton Watson that just basically ran through A.J. Green? I don't know if you get that call, if it means the Bucks win this game. But Doc's point was, he's got a quote, when you play that hard, in 3 minutes left in the game, it's a 6-point game. We had a 4-on-2 numbers. We're at least going to get a layup and a three. Ordinarily, I would say yes. I would also say, well, for a fourth quarter offense that is ranked 29, I don't know that there's any givens there, but I get his point on the numbers. We're at least going to get a layup or a three. And instead of that, and you know, down from four or potentially a 3-point game, it's a 9-point game. It was an absolute foul. It was a game-changing no-call, going from potentially 3 to 9. In that spot, the game was essentially over. Those are the type of breaks you're going to have to get. And, I mean, that's the other thing, is we have said over and over and over to not just win a championship, but especially to win a championship. But at this point, I think we have to look at it under the lens of to win a playoff series. For a team that is trying to get out of the first round for the first time in 3 years, you have to be good, you have to be healthy, and you have to be lucky. Luck is those types of breaks where, oh man, that was a 6-point swing. You miss a three, they hit a three. Like, you need to be the team that's doing that. You need to be the team that gets the ball bouncing your way. Maybe luck is, hey, Damian Lillard is ready to go. But you need all those things to come together. And obviously the last couple of years, the Bucks did not have the health component of it. They didn't have luck either. So this is really going to hinge on the role players going forward. as of right now, so that was the other thing I wanted to touch on, is I think this kind of got lost in the shuffle, too, of you may have kept track of the Indiana game and said, all right, the Pacers finally lost, had not lost since losing in Milwaukee to the Bucks a couple weeks ago. Pacers lose to the Lakers tonight on a LeBron James tip-in at the buzzer. So you think, okay, you got a chance to make this a one-game deficit. And you come up short. So the margin is still 2 against Indiana. The last we checked in, the numbers indicated the Pacers had a 60% or better chance to get the 4 seed. And those same numbers indicated the Bucks very, very likely to be the 5 seed. I don't know that it's updated yet with the results from tonight's game, but I bring all this up because the Detroit Pistons were idle tonight. So with the Bucks' loss, you're 40-32. The Pistons were 41-32 coming into the game. So Pistons are in 5th place right now in the Eastern Conference. And the numbers still indicate the Bucks still have a much greater chance at the 5 seed than the Pistons do. But if the season were to end today, the New York Knicks would be your first-round matchup. We could get into a, what does that mean for the second round? Would you rather play the Cavs? Would you rather play the Celtics? But again, for a team that has to get out of the first round, I don't think it's worth entertaining that discussion until you do so. So it still seems to suggest it's going to be the Bucks and the Pacers in the first round, but it makes those 2 games against Detroit all the more big. You're glad you're going to have Bobby Portis for those games, but we said at the time, your biggest games left this season. Obviously, there's the intriguing games with teams like the Thunder, your final game with the Cavaliers on the schedule, the Denver Nuggets, hey, let's see Giannis versus Jokic and all of that. The 2 Lakers matchups, right? You have those, I'm going to be entertained by this, I'm intrigued to see this, but the most important games were the Indiana Pacers games because it's your chance to secure the tiebreaker, and you did that. But we also said at the time, the hope is those 2 games against the Pistons do not become important games. And as of this moment, Detroit has 9 games left, you have 10 games left. It certainly feels like they're going to be important games. 3 straight games at home, and that's the other thing. 6 at home, 4 on the road. We've talked about the schedule and how much that changes. It starts to pick up for the Pistons and for the Indiana Pacers. Detroit is idle until Friday night when you return to the floor. But on Friday nights, Pistons have the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Pacers play tomorrow, by the way, night 2 of a back-to-back. And it's the Washington Wizards. So maybe our old pal Chris Middleton can do us a solid and remember how he looked in the playoffs against those Indiana Pacers. By the way, AJ Johnson, I know this is probably stirring up a lot. AJ Johnson had an incredible highlight tonight. Did you see it, Matt?
I did not.
He did the rondo, the fake behind-the-back pass, and finished off with a two-handed dunk. I feel like I'm stepping on a grenade, even bringing up the name of A.J. Johnson here. But A.J. Johnson wasn't going to get these minutes this year. Like he can. Like it, a team in the spot the Wizards are in, and it's not to say he doesn't have a chance to be a very good NBA player or have that type of future, but it wasn't here in Milwaukee for at least the next 2 years. The
How
Wizards.
Much would he have played tonight?
I mean,
less than Rollins?
Oh, yeah. Like, if you still made those moves. So, I guess if we're to assume if A.J. Johnson is still on the roster, you don't make the other move and Kevin Porter Jr. isn't here. Like, if that's the case, he probably would have played some. But nowhere near the minutes. I mean, he's starting now for the Wizards, but that's the spot they're in of like, well,
yeah,
we're not going to be a playoff team, and we feel like you were a lottery ticket, so let's see what you got in you. But, yeah, I mean, you could see in the moments he was on the floor, there is talent here. But
for sure.
You could also feel like it's not here this year. It's not end of this season. It's probably not next year, maybe, if he has a great offseason. But that's where they are at. And the question over, well, why did you draft him there in the first place? I mean, I get the logic of it. I mean, I don't think you can bank on, for where you're picking there, like, let's just find a guy that makes sense that can contribute now. Like, that's very short-sighted thinking. Say, well, let's plug this hole for an older player that, you know, maybe was in college 2 or 3 years, contributed to a tournament team, and we feel like there's less seasoning that's needed here. He has a better chance to help us immediately. It's short-sighted thinking, especially when you have limited assets like the Bucks do. Like, a guy like A.J. Johnson is what you have to hit on and say, okay, not Giannis levels, but similar thought on when you drafted Giannis. Let's see what this guy develops into. There's a lot to like there. He's very young. If you hit it on him, that changes your fortunes quite a bit. So why would you take him there when, you know, what? Ryan Dunn was one of the names that came up quite a bit, and
Well, I can tell you, as a Marquette fan, I was quite upset that Tyler Kolek was on the board. Because in my head, not now, but at the time, it was a backup point guard who can dish it. Which is, again, at the time, I thought what the Bucks could use.
Where was Oso a second-round pick?
No, he was first-round as well.
He was first?
Yeah.
Because that was right around that spot, too, wasn't it?
I think he had already went. I think he went first.
Yeah. I just remember the names that came up the most. Oso was like, hey, I wonder if that would make sense. Ryan Dunn was a name that was kicked around quite a bit. Khalil Ware was another one that came up. But both of those, the last two names, really started to pick up steam through that draft process. And you can see why with the way that Khalil Ware is playing right now for the Miami Heat. In the case of Ryan Dunn, I mean, there is a lot to like with his tools defensively. But as we've seen, the defense hasn't really been the issue for the Bucks. But I just couldn't get over the shooting that you saw from him in college. And then that first month, month and a half of the season, he's all of a sudden a lights-out three-point shooter where you're thinking, like, how is this the same guy? Well, he has fallen back to earth. And look, it's funny how this is a criticism that's levied against Doc Rivers, and the same people that will point this out conveniently forget you mentioned the same things about Mike Budenholzer and basically every other coach in the league. Ryan Dunn hasn't really been playing for the Phoenix Suns, not playing nearly as many minutes as he was earlier in the season either, so it does feel like, all right, league kind of saw, here's what he is, here's how to defend the shot, and given him a lot of dare shots, and those numbers have started to come down. But to finish the point on AJ, like, that's the type of move you have to make if you're the Bucks, to just find a guy with a high ceiling. Maybe the floor is low, but the ceiling is high, and say, if he develops, we got a steal. And look, the other part is whether or not, you know, putting the individual performances of Kyle Kuzma aside, you can't make that trade if you don't draft A.J. Johnson, because the Wizards wanted multiple draft assets. They wanted a first-round pick in that deal. We can debate what the value is, but that's what they wanted. You were able to say, okay, we can't give you a first-round pick technically, but we can give you this, a guy that was a first-round pick who's still very young and is half of a season removed from being a first-round pick for us. If it's, you know, not any of the names that we mentioned, but if you take a different guy that played for a couple of years and maybe he's more of a plug-and-play type guy, like in years past, Baylor Shireman, you take that type of guy. I think the Wizards are like, yeah, we're good. Like, we still need some draft equity in this. So it opened the door for that. And look, the other important thing to keep an eye on, or to keep in mind, I should say, is what that trade did for you for go forward. Like, this year is obviously important. And, you know, when we talk about cap relief and money that you save and things that are opened up, like first rounders 7 years from now, getting out of the second apron, potentially having things like a mid-level exception to use, or at least the taxpayer mid-level exception to use this summer. I mean, look, I get it if you say, cool, how does that help me in April? How does that help me in May this year? But it's important, and it keeps a lot of options on the table for this team in what's going to be a fascinating summer now. You know, and I feel like we've had that conversation 3 years in a row, but Brook Lopez is a 37-year-old free, about to be 37 years old, free agent this summer. Bobby Portis has a player option. Pat Connaughton has a player option. Kevin Porter Jr. has a player option. Suddenly, you could be under the cap if those things go a certain way. So it's not like last year or the year prior to that when you knew vet minimums, that's all you got to work with. We'll see if they make some type of trade at the draft. You got actual options this year because of that trade, even though it cost you A.J. Johnson, who's shown some flashes so far for the Washington Wizards. We will take a look at the rest of the standings here and the schedule ahead for both the Pacers and the Detroit Pistons. We'll get into that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Drives, now kicks it out. Ryan Rollins rips the cords on a three-pointer from the left wing. And the Bucks have cut it down to a three-point game. 2 minutes to play now here at Ball Arena. The resilience and moxie of this group chiseling their way back time and again in this game.
All right, so as of this moment, the Bucks are the 6th seed. The Pistons are the 5th seed. The Pacers are the 4th seed. The Bucks just have 2 divisional games left, and those are against the Pistons. The Pistons have 3 left, but the Bucks are the Bucks have 7 wins in division right now. The Pistons only have 4. So you could still potentially, even if you lose, which at this moment with 10 games remaining and 9 for the Pistons, even if you lose both of those games against the Pistons, there is still a chance that you will win the tiebreaker. And we will know Friday night if that's the case. Because the Pistons play the Cleveland Cavaliers, and if they lose that game, they will have 4 divisional wins with their only 2 divisional games left against the Bucks. The Bucks are already at 7. So if they lose that game, the Bucks are guaranteed to have the tiebreaker against the Pistons, regardless of what happens in those 2 games. Now, right now, you still got to catch the Pistons, who are 41-32, and you're 40-32. But, you know, we mentioned the schedule gets much more challenging for Detroit. And by the way, they have the 2nd most difficult remaining schedule in the league. The Bucks, after tonight, have dropped all the way down to 25th. The quote-unquote difficult games left on the schedule for the Bucks: Friday night against the Knicks, that game where Bobby Portis makes his return against the Minnesota Timberwolves on April 8th, and the 2 games left against the Pistons. The Pacers are in the middle of the pack. They have the 17th most difficult schedule. They still have 2 games with the Cavs. They still have the Oklahoma City Thunder. They still have these Denver Nuggets. And then again, there's the Pistons, who have the Cavs, the Thunder, the Knicks, the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves, and 2 with the Bucks. So that's why the numbers say, hey, the Bucks are still projected to finish in front of Detroit, but you may be given a pretty big gift Friday night. We're not advocating for a loss to the Knicks, but even if you lose that game, if the Pistons lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers, they can't catch you in terms of divisional wins. Now, I should say it doesn't necessarily guarantee it. Actually, it does. So where it gets complicated is if the Pistons win that game and then they beat you in both of those games, then it comes down to conference record and further down the list for tiebreakers. But a very big game Friday night for both these teams, the Bucks against the Knicks. And I mentioned this on the network broadcast too. Our old pal Cam Payne left the game tonight with an ankle injury. Knicks are obviously playing without Jalen Brunson. They're playing this game without Deuce McBride as well. And no point guards. So we'll have to keep an eye on that for this game on Friday. But a very big night with the Bucks taking on the Knicks. And then the Pistons against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and a chance for the Bucks to know whether or not they can wrap up the tiebreaker against Detroit already, pending those results on Friday. We will get to the questions that you guys have for us and start to wrap things up coming up after this on Bucks Talk. Shorthanded Bucks come up short in Denver tonight, losing to the Nuggets 127-117. And you got six more games left on this Bobby Portis suspension. We haven't heard any updates on Jericho Sims. Don't expect that for another week or so. But as you know, as mentioned, his absence, it's even more important now because you have to really lean into your defense. And, you know, again, I think we have to assume, go forward with the assumption you're playing this playoff series and beyond without Damian Lillard. If that changes, great. But don't wait for, hey, Damian Lillard's going to return. That has to be the mindset that you take forward here. And that's why your defense is going to be very important. Your role players have to have big games, but you got to lean into your defense. So guys like Jericho Sims and what he's brought, Ryan Rollins out there on the perimeter, that's what's going to get you through this in the interim. You're currently sixth in the Eastern Conference, and you're going to be in the sixth spot at least until Friday night. Pistons are idle the next 2 days. You're off tomorrow, and both you and the Pistons play Friday. The Pacers do play tomorrow against the aforementioned A.J. Johnson and the Washington Wizards, so we'll keep an eye on that score as well. But to round out that point, Pistons play the Cavs on Friday. They lose that game, and you know we've got the tiebreaker. Even if we lose these two games against Detroit, because that would just mean the season series tied at two games apiece, you'll have a better divisional record. Now, it doesn't portend well if you drop those two games. So the hope is going into the weekend, you're two up or three up on the Pistons, if that's the case. But that's at least the solace that you can take and say, okay, let's see, can Cleveland help us out tomorrow and get the Pistons off our back just a little bit? What do we have in terms of the questions for tonight's show?
So something from Doc Rivers post-game stood out to me about kind of the matchup and how they viewed it going into it.
Yeah, I thought when we lost the game, I told our coaches we had to make about four to five more threes than them tonight. And I thought if we did that, we would win the game. And I think it was a dead heat, right? So that might have been the difference.
So going into it, kind of recognizing you're outmatched, I suppose, without Giannis and Dame. So without Dame for the foreseeable future, do you see this team taking more three-pointers in general?
What did they, was it 39 tonight?
16 for 37.
Okay. No, I think we've kind of consistently seen them sit at that level of the 36, 37, 38 range. I expect it to stay there as well. I think it just, the quality of looks is what's going to be important. We saw something people have been calling for, and we've gently nudged back. Look, this is what they've been doing for a couple of weeks. But, hey, play Brooke Lopez in the paint and around the rim. They did a lot of that tonight. Like, you're going to continue to do that, especially in games where you don't have Giannis. And by the way, there's no reason to believe Giannis is going to be out, you know, Friday in more time. I think you would obviously love to do the same with Brooke Lopez. You just unfortunately do not have any options until at least April 8th. So I think it just boils down to what we're finding here with Brooke Lopez in the paint, Giannis's ability there too. But, you know, unfortunately, it's, we expect you, and I say unfortunate in terms of the expectations for him, we expect you to hit shots. A.J. Green, Gary Trent Jr., even Ryan Rollins when he gets those looks. Like, your role players just have to hit threes. And that's, you know, when we talked about junking up the game, that's it. You got to play defense, and you got to hit threes. I didn't assign a number to it, but you have the same feeling going in of they just got to hit more threes than Denver to win this one. And the first couple of minutes, it didn't seem like that was going to be an option when they started 5 for 5 and 6 of 7 on threes. You thought, uh-oh. We thought we had to hit a lot of threes. If they're doing it, that could be curtains. So that's what we mean with junking up the game is you got to win with your defense, and you're just going to have to hit more threes than teams. So where that becomes important is your playoff shooters and the 16 versus 82 discussion. Who do you trust in the postseason tonight? We cannot overstate, I think, was important for A.J. Green, that now it's do it again on Friday. Maybe not five threes, but knock down some threes and start to see the ball go through the net, start to go on this little burst where you go on a hot streak now, because that's what you're going to need from him, from Gary Trent Jr., from Torian Prince, up and down the list. Guys are just going to have to hit shots. Friday night's a big night as the Bucks return home for the start of a three-game homestand. You got the New York Knicks for the final time this regular season. Who knows? Maybe you'll see more of the Knicks. And then, as we mentioned, we'll keep an eye on that game between the Pistons and the Cavaliers as well. 7 o'clock tip on Friday, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.